Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
That was great. That was great for us. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports In Depth is a show. Doc and the crew in the press box, Jets and the Patriots, and a big one. And the Patriots are trailing the Jets right now, 9-6. It's a football score.
After the 15-yard
that sounds like a baseball score. It's about 30 seconds left in the first half, and the Patriots are driving, trying to once again take the lead. Jets got a safety, and then they turned around and got a touchdown. And right now, it's a close football game. We were going to start a little later, but we were thinking as the time was evaporating that we would start now. So we'll probably give you 90 minutes of live action from here, and then we'll come back on later on with Sports In Depth Part 2 with updates and interviews. But right now, as always, let's open the show with Dear Lord and John Coltrane. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you that you are our God. Thank you that although you may not be everybody's God, you are God, and God all by yourself. We ask you to continue to bless us, guide us, and strengthen us. More importantly, that your will and your way be first and foremost in our lives. We ask these blessings and all those blessings. Name your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports In Depth is the show, and it seems as we are in the closing set of the first half. And, yeah, you can't believe it. C-Wings, you know, we were thinking that the Jets had kind of gotten this thing together. Brady and the Patriots have come along here and, in the closing seconds, taking the lead again.
Yeah, this is unexplainable. I mean, the Jets had it. They could have ran the clock out, but what happened... The face mask penalty, it's just ridiculous penalty, are the ones that help move the Patriots ahead in the challenge in regards to the fumble. It helped, it was overturned, or it was actually stayed that the runner was down by contact. It helped put the New York, New England Patriots in scoring position. If they would have stopped them, would have put them in field goal position. And that 15-yard penalty for the face mask is what did the Jets in. And we'll have to come back in the second half and really play some hard-nosed, smart football to stay into this game. But, Doc, what do you think about the performance of the Jets as far as the defense in the first half?
Just give me a minute. What performance? You know what? No, you're right. The performance of the defense has been outstanding. To give up just 13 points and be trailing is something, but to only score 9 points. And we're going to bring Lady A in here. As it's halftime. Well, it's not halftime. It's 6-9 seconds left. And you kind of think, wow, you know, we were going to do this at 10:30. And it looks like we did catch a lot of action here as the Patriots, who scored first after the Jets got the ball, went all the way down the field, got the field goal range, missed the field goal. And then New England came down the field and got the field goal. Then New England got another field goal. Then the Jets got a safety. Then the Jets finally got a touchdown. Now England's got a touchdown. It's a 13-9 score, which is still in the realm of a baseball score. But more importantly, this is just a big football game. 5-3 of both teams. The winner here is in sole possession in first place, as Buffalo lost today. So that gave them the shot at. So we got to bring, we're bringing Lady A in here now. And Lady A, you know, the big thing that you talked about is the inabilities, the difficulty that the quarterback seems to have. And right now, we're trailing.
Yeah, right now we're losing the game. Just, seems like defensively, the team is not stepping up. Also, it seems like, the players cohesively just seem to be out of sync. So, you know, hope that in the second half they can kind of get it together.
You know, Lydia, can we talk about just how big this game is and just how horrible they look right now?
Yeah, they look pretty bad. I can't even tell you. I ran out of fingers counting how many times Mark Sanchez got sacked. It doesn't seem like he's getting the opportunities to throw the football the way he needs to. The running game doesn't really seem to be working all that well. Just a clear point was the fact that from the 2-yard line, he had to run the ball into the end zone for them to get a touchdown. So, I mean, obviously they got to go back to the locker room, try to fix whatever they're doing wrong, and hopefully in the second half they can kind of get it together.
Yeah, well, we can do a halftime too, lady. Why don't we get those interviews that we did in the lot and play those real quickly? We've got Dusty here joining us. Dusty, I guess you're probably kind of in shock or what?
I'm not in shock. I expected the stupidity of the plays. What's wrong with they cannot control that pocket to save Sanchez. How many times did he get sacked? 5 times, 6 times? I lost count. That's the problem. Sanchez is doing as well as he can under the circumstances, but that pocket is not protecting him.
Let's move to something last night, Daniel, your good buddy Tim Smith, and we're going to have you come back in about 15 minutes, but real quickly, we're going to do some interviews. But Tim Smith said last night, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Video Network, Rainbow Soldiers Channel, Sports Network Show, live from MetLife Stadium. It's halftime. The Jets are trailing the New England Patriots 13-9. Jets 13-9. Jets got a safety and got a touchdown. Missed a 23-yard field goal. And the Patriots didn't score a touchdown until the closing seconds of the first half to take the lead 13-9. Dusty.
Yes.
Last night, Marquez and Pacquiao, Tim Smith said he felt that the judges were either blind or corrupt, and he saw Marquez winning that fight.
I agree with him 100%, if not 90, but 100%, and they should suffer, you know, really, they should suffer the same unction that the New Jersey State Athletic Committee suspend these dudes and send them to school. You know, the irony behind all of this is that it holds true. We discussed this, and I'm sorry, and I never remember to bring it up, that Pacquiao all his time didn't want this fight. He knew that the biggest nemesis since he'd been in the United States was Marquez, not once but twice. And if you remember in all the press conferences that he's had, he kept saying, I got to knock this guy out. That shows a desperation and intimidation, a knowledge that he says, man, I can't beat this guy. I'm going to have to knock him out. I foolishly said 5 or 6 rounds, of course, because of his strength. But this man prepared for war. And when he kept saying, I got to knock this guy out, something tells us that he knew he didn't want this fight. He knew that this guy was going to beat him and slap him, you know, and make him look like a fool that he was. You know the irony, Doc, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. After I tallied up my score, I gave it to Pacquiao. Pacquiao, and I agree with Judge Letterman, Glenn Trowbridge, all three of us had the same score, 116, 112 to Pacquiao. I said, how the heck can you do this? What's wrong with your grade school math? That's the way I saw it.
That's what grade school math? You didn't go to grade school.
I'm going to drop out from kindergarten.
Hold on.
I'm saying, I can't believe it.
Hold on. I'm going to bring Lady A in, And we want you to hear this. Cause now, Lady A, Dusty said he saw the fight, he agreed, Pacquiao won, but knowing Dusty, who, you know, is very bad in academics, you know, that kind, he's one of those dead-end kids. And he said, after looking at his score, he gave the fight to Pacquiao. Lady A, your thoughts on that fight, and Dusty is waiting to hear it.
Yes, call me dummy.
No, Dusty, no, I'm not going to call you that. Actually, I found that they, what was your final? What did you have for a final score? How many rounds did you give to Marquez?
Marquez, I gave him 7. And
gave him 7.
One round even, you know, and as I tallied it up, my score sheet, somewhere along the line, I know I made a mathematical mistake. Because when I finished, I had a 116, 112 Pacquiao. I said, well, Jesus Christ. Marquez, to me, wants at least 6 clean, maybe 7. And when I
we were talking about this on the way over here. I actually had it as a draw again. Like,
absolutely. There you go. God bless
so
you,
I
lady.
Totally,
because,
so yeah. I totally agreed with one of the referees that had it 114. I actually,
exactly.
But I also found... that there were some rounds that
mm-hmm.
I felt that in those rounds Marquez took Pacquiao out of his fighting style.
Exactly.
And I felt that in him doing that, he was altering Pacquiao's ability to dominate those rounds, and therefore
he had him
under ring generalship. I felt that he should have got those points. I felt that, you know, there were a lot of rounds that could have went either way. But when I went back, I had it 114, which I believe one of the judges had it scored 114.
Yeah, the first was Glenn Hoyle or Danny Hoyle, whatever his name is. But
I just felt like just on that alone, ring generalship, mm-hmm. and him being able to take Pacquiao out of the fight and dominate the fight.
Yeah.
I felt that in that situation, you know, even though I had it 114, there could have been some rounds that could have went to Marquez. But in the end, you know, I have to agree with Emmanuel Stewart at ringside when he said a very key point, which was that either person could have won the fight. And there probably were some judges that he felt probably gave one or two extra rounds to Pacquiao. But I felt like just on ring generalship, and you telling me that this is a guy that's a champion, I think just the fact that he took him out of his style of fighting and was able to establish a precedent in the ring and say, you know what, you're not going to come in here dominating me. Every time he tried to throw that left hand, I mean, he went right, he turned him over to the right, he hit him with an uppercut. He was doing what he had to do, I thought, to set that tone in the ring to win the fight. So, some people could disagree with me. I always have felt, and you know that we both have felt that, that Marquez does do those little things in the ring to make adjustments.
Did you count the times of Pacquiao threw his straight knockout left hand at Marquez, and Marquez ducked it?
Yes.
17 times.
I did see that.
He threw the straight right hand, which was a knockout punch, 17 times in a 12-round. Marquez never got hit solid. Number two, he took him out of his psyche. Even Freddie Roach, you could hear he was desperate. Manny, you're not moving. And another thing that Emmanuel Stewart said that was key, Beristain, Hall of Fame, was telling Marquez, hey, you got to fight one. Hey, just take it easy. Keep moving. Do what you're doing, but you're winning. You never tell a fighter that you're winning, even if he won 9 rounds out of 9 rounds and the test is coming up. You tell him, hey, keep doing. The fight's tight. The fight's close. Keep him desperate. And this is basically not just mistakes. And you can see that Marquez was not holding back, but he was like, just moving forward, throwing his punches and
Go ahead.
No,
I was just gonna say. I think that juncture in the fight, already, I think, toward the end. You know, you're 100% right. I mean, you never, ever, that's a fatal mistake, I think, as a
it
trainer.
It is a fatal mistake.
Right. But, however, I think that even at the end of the fight, the last few seconds of the fight, I mean, you saw that they were going to slug it out. I mean, once the tap and the taps hit the mat, and you knew it was like 15, 10 seconds left, or 10 seconds
exactly.
left before the end of the round, they both went at it. And even still, I think that you really didn't see Pacquiao doing anything that was, like, phenomenal at the end of the fight.
Nothing.
And exactly. And all that jumping around and all that side to side, all that fainting, you're not doing anything, you know?
He was intimidated. He knew. In fact, one of the things that, I don't know about Harold Weston's days, but I know in my day, a fighter like Marquez, now listen to this, a fighter like Marquez, we used to call him a laser fighter. When I say laser, L-A-S-E-R, it's almost like a sniper. That when he pinpoints that red circle on your forehead, that's exactly where he's going to hit you. I mean, you're fine.
Right, right.
And if he points that red circle on your heart, goodbye, Charlie. That's exactly what he's going to hit you. Marquez is that type of fighter. He is the quintessential, accurate counterpuncher, second to Mayweather, of course. And when he's going to hit you, no matter what you throw at him, he's going to hit you at the spot that he decided to hit you. If he's going to hit you with a left hook to the liver, you can throw five right hands. It's not going to make it because he's still going to hit that target. That's
I want to tell you, though, but you got to, I mean, looking at the fight, and I'll probably go back to the house and watch it another five or six more times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a great fight and all around. And anybody that paid $65 this time around, it was definitely worth it. I mean, we had a couple of good fights in the undercard as well. I mean, the Alvarado fight was crazy.
That was a crazy fight, too.
And Alvarado, I mean, Prescott. Here's a guy standing in the middle of a ring with half his lip busted and broken. So, anyway, I thought it was a great fight. But let me give you back to Doc. Continue back over here from Jet Stadium. All right?
But it's right.
I know I'm always right, Dusty. You're right. I'm always right.
Of course you're right. And I would not have quibbled if it had been a draw, even though I thought Marquez won. But, you know, Doc, ask yourself a question, Lady A. We're going back to this, but ask yourself a question. Ask Lady A, doesn't this questionable thing take away the brilliance, the excitement of a Mayweather and Pacquiao?
You know, that's one of the things I thought about, Dusty, because it does, because now there's questions. And, you know, there was a sense of invincibility with Pacquiao. There was a sense of assuredness that it would be, a clear-cut victory. But with this,
exactly. There
are some questions, but at the same time, it could be possible. Dusty, we're going to go back to the football game. I'm going to need you to call us back in 30 minutes to join us. And if you don't know, 30
I'll call you back at 11, okay?
Okay, listen, 30 minutes is 3-0, Dusty, okay? 3-0
well,
is 30.
I'll call you. You're still playing with my mask, right? My ghetto mask?
You know what? Hey, Dusty, one thing about you, how you see one thing, how you write one thing, it's too different.
I just got a brand new set of glasses, so you can imagine.
but the question is, are they really your glasses, Dusty? That's you talk at 11.
Okay, I'll call you. Oh, my God. This is funny. Okay, 11 o'clock, sharp. Okay. Gotcha.
Let's see, ride the wave. We're riding back up here with the rest of the posse. It's halftime, and 2 weeks we'll talk halftime stats and some interviews we had in the parking lot as the Jets and the Patriots get set for part two. As the Patriots will receive the ball, even the Jets did see wings get back to the end. They deferred the kickoff, and now they're going to get the kickoff. Interviews and halftime stats for us, C-Wings.
Doc, there was a dismal performance by the New York Jets tonight. The first half, we did not pick up one third down conversion based on what we were doing. We need to score. We need to score. That missed field goal hurt us. Just to let you know how passionate the game was, we interviewed some fans prior to the start of the game, and here they are.
This is C-Wings, Doc, 88, and we're live in Parking Lot G. Sports and Death from the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. We're here with some Jets fans. We'd just like to get your opinion. This is the toughest game so far of the season for the Jets. What's your opinion on tonight's game?
And who am I speaking to, Mr. Davis? My opinion of the Jets game tonight is it's a big win. Sanchez is going to have to come out strong from the beginning. You know, the rest of this is going to stay in the backfield. If Sanchez had a good game, along with the receivers, the game should be pretty well.
Excellent. Who am I talking to?
Red zone. What do you think is going to happen to today, Jeff? Gronkowski.
Brace around Brady and they can run around. Don't let him stay in the pockets.
How many sacks you guys think that they're going to do? They're going to get today? The Jets.
Three?
How many sacks do you think the Jets are going to get today?
There you go. One of the interviews we did today, and you have one by our esteemed host, Doc Stanley, there, interview a serviceman, as this is the Veterans Day weekend on the eve of a big game, the Jets versus the biggest rivals of the division, the New England Patriots. And here is Doc speaking to one of our service members serving the country.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Stanley Sports Network on the Blink with another Rainbow Show on the Channel Sports Network. I showed Wednesday yesterday, and we had met myself. We wanted to roll the who made everything possible for us. And we're talking to the Major here. And Major, tonight, big game, Jets, Patriots, no prediction of why.
Well, this is a tough call because I'm in the Air Force, and we fly a lot of Jets. So, in favor of Jets. But the Patriots are also Patriots, and I am a Patriot myself. So that's a tough call, but I think I'm going to go with the Jets because air power always dominates.
Okay, I was an Air Force man myself.
My cousin, the Colonel, Army guy, can't remember that. The first African American Fed Commander, JCSC unit, with the Air Force arrived out.
What's your name, Major?
Major Dave Wilson.
Well, where are you from?
Originally from Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
I was up there way to Apple, up there from North Dakota.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, you sure are you an old Packer fan? How long you been in,
Going on 13 years now.
Yeah. Okay. The old state's coming pretty soon for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for the interview, and thank you for what you've done for our country.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Doc Stanley Sports and Network. Talk to a real life hero.
And a real chip.
What is your prediction as far as the score tonight?
I think the Jets are going to come through 18-14.
18-14. There you go. From a real life soldier coming live from Pocket Lot G Sports and Death on the Blink Radio Network. Thank you, Major. Thank you.
Saint Wings live here with the esteemed Doc Stanley and the First Lady of Sports and Death, Lady A. We are here live at New York Jets versus the New England Patriots in what will be probably the biggest game of the Jets season. Now, we know that it's the biggest game so far of the season for the New York Jets, and sort of a must-win to stay in top, be a contender in the AFC East, and it will be a pleasure to have the Jets in first place, being at division rival, the Buffalo Bills, lost bad today in the game against the Cowboys. And if we can edge out and beat the New England Patriots, it will put the Jets on top of the AFC East in first place. And there's a correction to the first half summary. The Jets were 1-for-6 on third down conversions, as opposed to the New England Patriots, who did not fare that much better. They were 2-for-7. You had Tom Brady, 22-for-12 for 194 yards. You had Mark Sanchez, 16-for-10, 137 yards. So the Jets are still in the game. We have to capitalize on the when we get good field position, when Sanchez gets the ball and we drive. We have to make those first downs, stay out of third and long. He has to complete those passes, move that ball efficiently down the road, and we have to score touchdowns. When you're going against a team like the Patriots, even though their defense is not as good as it has been in the past, they still have Tom Brady at the helm, and he can be dangerous if we don't put that pressure on him. In the Jets, we had the ball for 18 minutes, 33 seconds, as opposed to the Patriots, 11 minutes and 27 seconds in the first half. But we did not capitalize off of it. And I think what happened
by us missing that first field goal in the first quarter drive kind of hurt us a bit. It's coming back to, I guess you would say, the chickens coming back to roost. We need to punch it into the red zone to score.
The Seawings, I've always said, you know, when you are in the red zone, when you're in the touchdown area, and you don't get the touchdown, and you get the field goal, it's a psychological edge for the defense. To come away with nothing was a big boost. We made some stats, you know, Brady also had a touchdown pass. So, you know, when we came away with nothing after almost scoring on the pass previously to Holmes and to miss a 20-yard field goal, I mean, that was a big psychological shot in the arm to the Patriots, whose defense hasn't played well this year. So that was just really big.
Well, you bring up a good point there, Doc. Also, with us really missing the field goal, Sanchez has been hit. He's been sacked, and we have to protect Sanchez. He has to complete these passes. He has to bring up his completion rate. Brady, even though he hasn't fared that much better than Sanchez, he's had almost 100% passing rating as opposed to Sanchez's 89.8 pass rating in the first half. And if we don't complete these passes and we punt the ball and put it in Brady's hand, that makes it even harder for our defense. The defense has kept us in the game.
It's kept us in the game. I mean, the prediction was 14 points for the Patriots by one of our listeners in the early interview. So, I mean, they're just 1 point away from that. So the Jets could hold up to that. But we got two calls. Is that Cincinnati calling in here?
Yes, it is.
He's already in. And is that you with us, Rooney?
It's me, Doctor.
Okay, Rooney, real quick, we'll get to you. Hold on, Cincinnati. Rooney, just vent. Let it out real quickly. Let it out, Rooney.
No, I was just going to say very quickly, Doc, that I agree with what C-Wing said and what you said. It was a huge letdown when Sanchez and company takes the ball, marches up the field, what looks like at least a short 3 points, and their kicker basically misses a glorified extra point. Come away with nothing. So it's a bad omen.
I love that line. You got to start putting a glorified extra point. Rooney, you just, you know, a point well taken. Rooney, not only that, I mean, I said too, you know, to come down the field and walk away with nothing against a team this good is just psychologically an advantage for them. And then looked at them, they turned around and deferred the kickoff to us. And it looks like now that we may be in a big problem as the Jets have fumbled the football and now New England has gotten the ball back. And lo and behold, Lady A is screaming again. The kids, just now, they're going to get back to you in a minute. Rooney, this is not Jet football. And I think, you know, Lady A said something that I've been saying all year long. Jets cannot win with Sanchez. We need a reliable back quarterback. We need somebody that can come in and win this game. We cannot continue to lose games with Sanchez learning how to play the game. We've got to win the football game. This is a huge game today. You win this game today, you're alone in the division. Buffalo's already lost. Rooney, things have got to get better. Has got to start at the quarterback position.
Well, Doc, he's a work in progress, Sanchez. He's not a big guy. You know, I think he's, about 6 feet, 6'1". A little over, about 205 or so, 208, maybe 210 on a healthy day. I mean, he's not built like, say, a Roethlisberger, where he can take the pounding of, say, the offensive line not being up to snuff. You know, they're playing, like Steve said, you know, the defense is kind of keeping them kind of in the game. They're kind of hanging around. The defensive backs and safeties for New England seem to be going down like flies. They're trying to pick on them. The Jets, for their part, their guys have missed a couple of balls that hit them right in the hand. Their defensive backs have missed a couple of interceptions that have hit them right in the hand. They're managing to hang around, but this is a game that they could easily lose if they don't get their act together.
Rooney, you bring up a good point there. I mean, the Jets, Joe McKnight, just fumbled the kickoff, which resulted in the recovery by the New England Patriots within the 15-yard line. Now you have the patch.
threatening another touchdown. Let's go to Cincinnati. Who do we have on the line? Cincinnati.
Hi, this is Phil Pacino from Cincinnati.
Oh, welcome, Phil, to the Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Phil, hold on, because sometimes
okay.
You get carried away here. Okay. Accidentally okay. Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Welcome in, Phil, there. Okay, Rooney. Rooney?
Yes, sir.
Rooney, are you still there? Yeah, Rooney, would you...
Yes,
sir.
I just want to say one more quick thing. Not only was it a big letdown coming away with no points in the very opening drive of this game, guy missing a glorified extra point, but to make matters worse, then you have Brady march right up the field, Nick. It's a 50-yarder.
Well, that's true. But, Rooney, right now I want you to welcome Phil from Cincinnati to Sports in Depth Nation.
Phil, a pleasure. And as the good doctor said, we absolutely positively welcome you and say that's a pleasure to have you here on the Sports in Depth Nation.
Thank you very much. I am watching this game. I am completely devastated right now. I can't believe this is going on.
I'm going to let you know right away, Phil, that this is prime time. You're talking in front of the masses, the millions and millions of Sports in Depth Nation followers. They better have it together.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm from Cincinnati. I'm living in Cincinnati, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and this is hard.
Where are you?
In Prospect Ocean and Prospect.
Down in the old Prospect, not too far from the Park Slope area.
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, that first drive, and they didn't come out with any points. That took some wind out of them. And then
Phil, absolute heartbreaker. What a letdown when you come out looking fantastic like that. They were crisp, they were driving, and it's just a huge letdown, like the doctor said, when you come away with nada, zero zip.
It's going to hurt. And like that other gentleman was talking about Sanchez, about his height and his weight, height and weight. I got to disagree, man. You have a good line, it don't matter. You're going to do what you got to do, and you're going to score. I still believe they're in this game. It's just they just got to step it up now. I know we're in the third quarter, but I believe they could pull out of this. They have it in the air. They just got to connect.
They're lingering around. They're hanging around. But I don't know. It's something that seems to be missing. I don't know if they have to step up the running game with the offensive line. I just started trying to blow people off the line, just ground and pound. Hey, by the way, Doctor, I do have to say this, though, Doc. Even though they're not doing a heck of a lot, at the moment, I'm not ready to run Schottenheimer out of town just yet, at least not on this day.
Look, you bring up a good point there, Rooney, Phil, that the Jets, they're not too far off in this game. But when you look at how they're playing, then you have a different outlook on it. But, Phil, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh today, I mean, you had Cincinnati win 5 in a row. It's the first time in over 20 years that this has happened. What's your opinion on the future of Cincinnati? I mean, they're still in it,
third in it. Absolutely. They're still in it. This was an upsetting game to watch. I mean, they made minor mistakes, and it cost them the game. But I believe that they are still in it. What the real showdown is going to be is when we go to Pittsburgh in 3 weeks. If we could beat them in Pittsburgh, we could take this division. I think Baltimore's falling apart. We're coming around. Like I said, none of the teammates have been in any trouble lately. So we've been blessed on our end for a little bit because they're always in the news for something. But it's been very quiet. So it's been a good thing.
Right. And as you speak on the Bengals, the players being, staying out of trouble, as we see that Cedric Benson was able to have a four-game suspension dropped to one?
Yes, absolutely. And that was great on their end. Whoever negotiated that out with NFL, That was great. And he came back. He snapped back. He's back in the game. He's our man. And Green, I hope that's not a major injury that he has.
Right. Well, the way Green has been running, he hasn't really, really been productive. I think one of the big problems with the Jets have been his inability to be effective enough to keep the defense honest and to and all defensive Sanchez to not make him the sole weapon. I mean, as Gino said earlier, it's a five pack. So maybe he may be better off on the bench and we have somebody else running. He has been, as Cedric has attuned to all year long, he's been a tremendous disappointment. And brought to today, with said he's been one of the drawbacks in the Jets in spite of this winning record. And, the Jets got an opportunity here where New England came away with 3 instead of 7. But the question is, what are the Jets going to do about it? Are they going to take advantage of it? And it seems that in this football game right now that they haven't.
And, Doc, as you said earlier, they literally have not looked the same since that opening drive when they looked crisp, they looked determined, when they marched up the field over kicker missed that glorified extra point. They haven't looked the same since on offense.
Yeah.
Now, Phil, we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've been the talk of the town in the football area, being that, their 5-game win streak. What is your take on Andy Dalton? Do you think that he's going to be the new and improved, better Carson Palmer? Do you think it was better to get rid of Carson Palmer than Andy Dalton, as we know that he had 14 touchdowns in his first 9 games, the most for any rookie quarterback since the AFL-NFL merger. What do you think about Andy Dalton?
Oh, I think he's a great quarterback. I mean, granted, he's in his first season, but the man, he has abilities. He's able to run, able to get through to his connections in the line. It's his first year, and he's doing great. I think he is going to end up to be a real superstar out of this, and he's in for the long term. I'll tell you that he's not going to be going anywhere.
Well, Carson,
we had Carson. You know, he didn't want to play for us anymore. So
Is it that he didn't want to play for Cincinnati anymore, or he didn't want to play for the coach anymore? Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I believe it was both the coach and the team. He was upset at the fans.
Really?
Fans were giving him a hard time. And I believe he just said he had enough, and he decided, I'm going to sit out. And like you said, you seen what the stance was. Mike Brown said I wasn't going to trade. He sat there and laughed.
Can we take a moment here, because nobody has, and give the coach a tremendous job. I mean, this is a team that wasn't seen to really do too much. He won 5 in a row. You know, today he was in the Pittsburgh game. Right now, he's got to be a candidate for Coach of the Year.
Absolutely, but then you got a quarterback who wants to play for us. You know what I mean? You got a quarterback who's stepping up and he's doing what he needs to do. So yeah, I give credit to the coach. Yes, and Dalton wants to be here, and he's proven that. He wants to see Walker go.
And Rooney, how important is that to have a quarterback who's the leader that wants to play and shows it in his play and his enthusiasm?
That makes the whole team.
It lifts the whole team, Doc. You know something? It's the type of thing where the guy, the lead man, the guy that everybody looks to makes everybody else around him better. You know, that's the type of, thing that a really good quarterback who shows really good leadership and has the skills. I mean, you can do all the rah-rah stuff you want, but you got to be able to play ball. And, when you can look to somebody that, can get it done, has leadership skills, has leadership qualities, and at the same time, you know, backs up his performance with desire and grit. Guys can feel that, Doc. You know, guys will go out and play for you, and they're like, as long as this guy, you know, he can keep us in the game as long as we do what we have to do. So in answer to your question, Doc, and the quarterback obviously is the main guy offensively, and, you know, guys look to him for a certain amount of leadership, and if you have that confidence that, you know, he can get it done, you know, it's easy to follow him and go to the wall with him. Type of guy you want with you in the trenches.
Thanks, Tony. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, the Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports and Death, with the show will come in live from MetLife Stadium. And once again, the life out of the Jets has been gone, driving the ball, interception. We got Phil live from Cincinnati for us. We got Lady A and Sea Wings here in the press box. Lady A discussed it. She wants to talk boxing again, and she'll get a chance unless she comes back. Phil, here's a question. You're a guy from Cincinnati, and this is something that you know, I've always asked people. Your thoughts. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
And why? Why, Phil?
Why is because he did something that was illegal to the Major League Baseball that he knew he was wrong. And then he admits it. At first, he didn't admit it at all. He admitted denial. Then at the end, he writes a book years later and he admits that he did that. I gotta be with the Major League Baseball saying no. Maybe after I don't say anytime soon, but I believe he should be put in the Hall of Fame maybe after his passed away, but not while he's alive.
Oh, that's coming from a guy out of Cincinnati via way of Brooklyn. The Jets and the Patriots, it's a 16-9 football game. Lady A says something that's very paramount. You know, Lady, you said this could be an even larger score.
Yeah, I thought it could be the way they're playing right now. It's unbelievable. They're making so many mistakes. They had an opportunity, I thought, Dusty, to sneak back in a game on that last mistake in the end zone when their player stepped out of bounds and get back in it. Your thoughts about that? Dusty?
No, Dusty there. Like Lady A said, they're making mistake after mistake. Took balls and Sanchez hasn't had a whole lot of time to throw, and the DBs have dropped a couple of possibly short interceptions just about. In deference to Sanchez, he's not getting a lot of help. The offensive line is not exactly blowing people away.
Yeah,
and
you know what, Rooney, not to catch up, but did you happen to see, I mean, is it right? I know he got tackled more than twice. I lost track after twice that he got tackled, but it just seems like you look at Sanchez, and he just looks perplexed. Like, it looks like this guy looks like, I'm looking for something. I got to throw the football. He throws the football and then throws an interception. I mean, where is he throwing the ball, Rooney? Where is he throwing the ball? It seems like he's rushing.
The running game is so. I think, like you said, I think the kids are a little perplexed. Like, who should I go to? Here, who's going to be in the trenches with me here? Where do I turn? What do I do?
But, like, when I look at him playing now, it just seems like he has no idea, no, like, identity. He's coming out of the pocket. You know, I'm surprised that he ran that ball in for a touchdown before. I mean, it just seems like, basically, in looking at him play, he looks like he's, like, a man without a mission right now. Like, I'm looking
at him. You know, Lady A, a big part of that, Lady A, not to cut you off, a big part of that, Lady A, you know, we tend to forget sometimes because he's been to two championship games in 2 years. We tend to forget that he actually is only in his third year. You know, this is his third year. And he's a work in progress, Lady A.
Well, I mean, I'm looking, I'm trying to figure out, I mean, because to me, I think it's just, well, they got another touchdown right now. They just scored another touchdown at the Patriots. But it just seems like, number one, he doesn't have a pass protection. He's not getting the pass protection, Sanchez. And then on top of that, the line doesn't seem like they're giving him the opportunity in the pocket to throw the ball at all. And then thirdly, and then it's like the guys on the field, I mean, easy passes and they're dropping the ball. So, you know, just
Lady
you
A,
know,
like I said
that's
earlier, like I said earlier, Lady A and Doc and C Wings, he's not playing his best game, but he's not getting a lot of help today. He's really not. You know, neither from the O line or his receivers. Well, he's not getting a lot of help and a lot of backup today. He's really not.
Yeah, I just, the way I'm looking at right now just looks like they're not, number one, they're not working cohesively as a team. The defense may come out, make good plays, and then when the offense comes out, they're not moving the ball.
Well, they have no cohesion today, Lady. They don't look
crisp anymore. Cohesively at all.
You know, Lady, I had told Doc and Panel, you know, C-Wings and Phil the whole, that, you know, ever since they came out looking crisp, they looked invigorated. And ever since their kicker missed that glorified extra point, they haven't been the same. They haven't looked like the same team. It was like a huge letdown just occurred after they came away with no points. A huge letdown. They looked like the same offense when they came back out.
Right, it looks like that, you know, and you're talking about the beginning of the game. They had the ball. I don't know how that guy missed the field goal. But to come all the way up the field twice and not be able to score, I don't know what's happening. I mean, thank God Dustin Keller caught that ball 2 yards from the end zone so he can run the ball in. But at this point, I really don't know what direction.
Well, Lady A, you being one of our ace reporters, Lady A, the good doctor, see what? I know that you're actually there live. What's the mood of the crowd? I don't hear much, so it sounds like they took the crowd completely out of the game.
Totally out of the game. You don't even hear them. Yeah, they're all silent. Maybe they're headed for the snack bar area. I don't know. Maybe they're headed for the snack bar area and enjoying the beverages.
Hey, Lady A, get one of those giant hot dogs for about $20.
I think I'm going to send them out to our buddies that we just did the interview with down at the pregame, and maybe they can go over and enjoy the festivities. By now, they have to be totally inebriated, so.
I mean, they have taken the crowd out of it about as quickly as one can. I mean, I really don't hear a peep.
I mean, they're very quiet. And like I said, the mood is very, very somber right about now, even in the press area. It doesn't seem like you have too much going on. I think the key to probably, and you know what, and they could be losing by a lot more. But I think that the key to, if they're going to turn this around, they got to try to at least score a touchdown, another touchdown before the quarter ends, and try to see if they can make a run in the fourth quarter, which, you know, let's see what they're able to do. If they don't...
What kills me, Lady, is that the Jets don't seem to be able to move the ball against, I believe, the last ranked passing defense in the league, and they can't seem to move the football.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't need to... I don't know if you were able to catch this, but, you know, hey, you know what? It's weird because it's... From what I saw, the Jets are number two in the red zone, moving the ball and, you know, and scoring touchdowns. So, statistically speaking, I guess it's one thing on paper and it's another thing to see them actually perform and do what they got to do. I don't know what has happened to them. I am disgusted by what I'm seeing right now, and I'm just hoping that by the end of the game they can fix whatever they have to do to win the game. Let me turn it right about now. I'm going to turn it over to Cedric, and we'll see. Actually, Doc looks like he's going to take up the phone, and we'll see where we go from there.
Does she sound disgusted? Yeah. Does she sound upset? Yeah. Does she want to talk boxing? Yeah, because right now this is a mismatch. And again, that the Jets seem destined to win, catching the Patriots on the rebound, catching the Patriots, the worst pass defense in the NFL, okay? Not in the division, okay? Not in their conference, in the NFL. With 4:38 left in the third quarter, the Patriots up 23-9, so whoever picked 14 points in the parking lot, that's out the window. It's been a football game that... Maybe by the time the third quarter ends, that classic line by the late, great Don Meredith, turn out the lights. No, let me say that Don was there. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
remembering too also this time to Dandy Don, Dandy Don, and we want to also never forget tomorrow in Philadelphia, and I plan to be there if I can. They bury the first man to ever beat Muhammad Ali, the 1964 heavyweight gold medal champion, Smoking Joe Frazier. Frazier, as you know, did you know, as Rooney likes to talk about sometimes, Joe Frazier only lost 4 fights, and he only lost to 2 men, and as it would be, 2 times. He lost to Muhammad Ali twice, and he lost to George Foreman twice. And ironically,
I'm sorry, I'm really sorry to interrupt, Doc, but I think this is really pertinent. I believe I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I just kind of found this out today. I believe this to be the case, that Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were born on the same date. I believe it was January 17th.
Yeah, I didn't know they had the same birthday. I didn't know that was Joe. But no, and I'm glad you said that because I wanted to say something. November 12th is the birthday of the first 3-time National League MVP, 7-time batting champion, and the man who stood up back in 1947 when the St. Louis Cardinals were going to boycott because of Jackie Robinson and said, hey, 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 he's got a right to be here like anybody else. And it was him, when Jackie Robinson came to first base, stuck his hand out and shook his hand and said, welcome to the big league, Stanley Frank Musial, lifetime 231 hitter, 7-time National League batting champion, and the first player in National League history to win 3 MVPs. And in 1948, he had a season and that was unparalleled. He led the majors in everything. And real quickly, Lady A wants to make a quick announcement here. So, once again, the First Lady of Sports on the Blake Rainbow. So, Lady A, take it away.
I know, I just wanted to just say God bless the Ramos family that just got their son back. I know that Wilson Ramos, the catcher for the Washington Nationals from Venezuela, was kidnapped a few days ago. So I just want to say God bless to the family. They were able to get their son back. And much kudos to Hugo Chavez for authorizing the commandos to go in and rescue Wilson Ramos from these awful criminals that seemed to kidnap him while he was in his house with his family in Venezuela. So much kudos to Hugo Chavez for that. I don't know if you guys heard about it. Rooney, latest that I read, there was an all-out shootout between the commandos that were going in to rescue him and the actual kidnappers, and they were actually able to save his life. So, again, with all the negativity that surrounds Hugo Chavez, I think that's a positive on his part. To go in and save this guy from the clutches of these criminals that have nothing else better to do but, you know, try to hold people ransom in Venezuela. So, like I said, just I don't know if anybody in the panel happened to catch the news on that.
Been following that case, baby. Yeah, absolutely.
Very disgusting. But you know what? I'm just glad that they were able to get him back. And Washington Nationals are going to get their boy back. And he'll be able to play. 24 years old, young guy.
If that means that when he goes back to Venezuela, what happens, he now travels as a bodyguard.
And you know, it's an interesting point that you bring up, because I believe in, I don't know if it was the Daily News or the New York Post today, they had an article about a gentleman that plays on the New York Yankees. His last name is, correct me if I'm wrong, Moreno. He's a ball player. I can't think of his name off the top of my head from the New York Yankees, but he's also Venezuelan. And that's the exact same point they brought up, that now with some of these players that are from there, you know, is it a good idea to have them travel with bodyguards in some of these countries, or situations being the way they are, you know, economically? I could imagine, you know, here's a guy, young kid who's down there, you know, making all the money he makes, you know, in traveling down to Venezuela to go see his family. You know, it kind of gives some of these people the opportunity to do what they got to do. So,
Anyways, well, you know, Lady A, I was watching 24/7 about Marquez and Pacquiao since Doc said that you want to touch on boxing. I was watching the 24/7 series, and it seems as though Marquez is pretty. Now, don't get me wrong, it's very pretty, but it looks like a kind of a yellow Hummer that was kind of made out of like an armored car.
Really? I didn't happen to notice.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I that in a second thing.
Marquez is driving around like an armored car over there.
Really? I didn't happen to look at the car in detail like that. I happened to get a quick look at it, glance at it, but interesting point. Did you happen to see, interesting, this is another, since you happen to mention 24/7, Les Kellerman had a segment with Miguel Cotto and Margarita.
Yeah, today, Face Off.
Did you see it?
Yeah, Face Off.
Did you guys see when he pulled out the iPad?
Yeah, the pad was scratched and it had some coloring. And the stupid Margarita said, well, you don't see nothing. There's nothing there. And that's the one that I thought Miguel Cotto missed, but they did get their hands on it after the fight. And, of course, Margarita's dismissing it as nothing. You don't see there's nothing there. You know, this stuff. But, you know, the guy's as dirty as last week's laundry, man. You know that. But
Dusty, with all your experience, I've boxed, you box. Just when do hand wraps break like that?
Heck no. They never get discolored. They never get anything because of the fact that
How do they rip like that? It's gauze. How do they rip like that? They're not going to rip like that.
Because of the fact that there had to be some illegal substance. First of all, when you do your gauze, you do the adhesive right over the gauze. Okay, so there's no way that a gauze is going to be that rotted or that corroded, you know, unless there's some illegal substance in it, you know. But getting back to what you said about the travelers, these guys make minor league money, so they're not really big time. But I guess the dollar exchange in those countries, I mean, one American dollar is worth 20 over there, something to that effect. Because if you looked at the kid's house, he wasn't living in no palace, man. That looked like a ghetto.
Exactly.
And they looked like a freaking ghetto. And another picture from Venezuela, his aunt or some relative was also kidnapped. But, you know, it's I don't know if it's a coming thing. I mean, these kids in the off season go back home to play in the leagues that started them out as franchise players to keep playing year-round to better themselves for the major leagues. But now these animals are going to make a habit of kidnapping them. I mean, I thank God that but I expected this guy to be found dead somewhere, because these suckers, when they kidnap you, they either cut your ears off or cut a finger off and send them to the relatives, you know, and he was found, you know, he was captured clean, you know, except traumatized. But I don't know what the message is with these animals, you know, doing that in their own country. But
it's a thing. They're looking for money, and
but they didn't.
I don't know. Maybe they were looking for season tickets.
Okay,
we gotta take a break right now.
You must have had a funny pill breakfast, man, because you came up with some good ones, man.
That's I always come up with good ones. How dare you say that? And we have
a
guest from Cincinnati.
Once every millennium. Okay, that's cool.
Everybody, hang on for a minute. We'll be right back. It's Doc Kennedy, Sports and Death on the Blake Griffin Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Death with the show. It's for a break time, and then we'll be back because we've already talked about boxing, because there's not too much of a football game going on here right now. So
yeah,
that,
23-9. First and goal for the Jets. Every kitchen. You know. Oh, well, you guys are there.
yeah, we're there. But then again, maybe we should be where you're at. Don't nobody move. We'll be right back.
Second and goal.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind. Radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the Channel, Sports and Depth of the Show. It's live from MetLife Stadium, New England 23, Jets 9, 15 minutes left. And, you know, this is a very big 15 minutes. Jets came in here with a 5-3 record. New England came in here with a 5-3 record. They were groggy. They were slipping. They weren't the same team they used to be. And now it seems that they may be, this could be the shot in the arm that they need. They win this game today, it'll be the second time they beat the Jets. They win this game today, they go in sole possession in the first place. They win this game today, and maybe they get some of their swagger back. Sea Wings, 15 minutes left. The Jets can write this season, or they can interject a whole lot of positivity into the New England Patriots season.
Well, Doc, the Jets right now are threatening to score. And right now, to get back in this game, we need a touchdown. Not a score,
yes.
not a field goal, not any type
safe.
Of bomb. We need that 7 points to get back into the game. But the Jets, I don't know what to say. I mean, last week they were looking like the Jet team of the last two seasons that went to the postseason, nearly went to the Super Bowl last year. I don't know what happened. It's like they get down on themselves. They have to play 60 minutes of football. Not let's dominate three quarters of the game. To win in the National Football League today, you have to dominate not only on the defensive side, you have to dominate on the offensive side. And I just don't see that here today. But what we need to do, complete those passes, whether it's for 5 yards, 10 yards, 25 yards, you have to complete the passes.
Mm-hmm.
Not execute them, complete. And you can't put your team in third and long, not with this Jet offense that we have this year. You have to punch that ball into the red zone, into the end zone. You get the 7 points. That's what keeps you in the game. I mean, this is...
You know, not to cut you off, see, but they need to act like they have a sense of urgency, okay? They don't need to be walking around like they have all day to get these two scores. They need to act like they have a sense of urgency. Maybe a little no huddle would be appropriate at this time.
They got a touchdown now.
Well,
Plexico
we're back into
touchdown.
It. Plexico
yeah.
just got a touchdown pass in the upper corner of the end zone. This is what we needed. Stop.
Yeah, shot in the arm, big touchdown. And not only that, only 5 seconds into the fourth quarter, quick score, a big score. Now it's all on the Jets defense because they're 7
yes.
away. But the thing here, Lady A, you just griping and moaning and groaning. They need 2 touchdowns. They've got one. You've been discontent off of football game long.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed. Just hoping that they score the next touchdown within the next few minutes, so I can give themselves a little bit of a cushion, you know.
Well, Lady A, they gave Plexico an unjustified penalty when he caught that long drive ball.
Oh my God!
I mean, they're playing and the ones I'm telling you, the judges are playing what is called kindergarten football. One little swipe. Right away, you get a penalty. That's killing the drive. That's killing the drive. That could have been a touchdown drive right there when Plexico caught it the other quarter, and they gave him a penalty. And Santonio Holmes just got bumped and grinded all over the place. The ball was his, and the judge wouldn't call it. I was afraid Santonio would get a technical because he went after the judge.
I saw that. But you know,
you
I think more frustration. I mean, more frustration too on the part of the Jets, and you know, they're playing a rival, New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, how many fights have you guys seen almost break out on the field today too? I mean,
it's a rival. I mean, yeah, and even Mark, I got to give him credit. Kudos to Mark. He scrambled in for a TD. Everybody's
right.
covered, so this is what I expect of a quarterback. Scramble, get some yardage, even if it's a first down, but, I mean, eat some yardage. So then when you do find a receiver, he's closer to the end, to the goal line or in the goal line. But
no, they just showed an incredible style.
Well, my
anger
is that Pocket is not protecting Mark. You see, how many times he got sacked? I mean, they're not protecting
him. I lost count after two letters.
Yeah, exactly.
I was so frustrated. That's
the problem there, man. You know, because if you look at football, and say, oh, he's a great quarterback. Of course he's a great quarterback because he has a pocket that's a steel curtain. But once they go through that like Swiss cheese, he has nowhere to go but get sacked. I mean, a quarterback has
that earlier,
different
that they're not giving him a lot of help. They're not.
No,
the
quarterback
the
gives them
commanders. The receivers weren't giving him a whole lot of help today.
Maybe we should revert back to Vinny Trustavarti and buy the whole line of Rolex watches. Maybe that'll work.
I don't know, but. You know, but the fact of the matter is that the quarterback has a million things going once the snap is in. And if he finds that he's protected, he can take all his time and visualize what he's going to do. But if he's going to worry about the 450-pound five elephant coming at him and the wall is not protecting him, he's finished. He has to scramble, improvise on his own with the three or four seconds left. Brady, I've seen him stand there, and, I have a habit of counting in time. I've seen Brady stand in a pocket maybe 12, 13 seconds. That's a hell of a long time before he finally throws the ball to one of his receivers. I mean, and if you don't have a pocket like that, the quarterback looks bad. Oh, he stinks. No, it's not that he stinks. The freaking wall that's supposed to, the pocket is supposed to protect him. You know.
Well, but you know that every time you take a snap and you look up, there's some 6'5", 290-pound monster in your face, you know, you're going to get a little gun-shy after a while, man. Nobody's blocking
anybody. Absolutely. But if it's tight, like I said, the steel curtain, the guy has those few seconds to scramble the field and look around and throw the receivers. There's a primary receiver, the secondary. If those guys are covered, there's three or four other guys. That's Brady's advantage. He has three or four other guys
Brady
that he can throw.
Is that, you know, you're right. He has, that's amazing.
A ton of receivers, man.
Not only that, Dusty, what you said, he has a lot of time. Quickly, let's go back to Cincinnati. I have a buddy in Cincinnati. Phil, you quiet here for a while. You're watching this game.
I'm watching this game, and they're making a comeback. I'm telling you, they're going to pull this out.
Well, but there's no doubt to say that what they have to do right here is stop New England. New England can not come away with any points, not even a field goal, because if New England can get a drive, can kill the clock. The football game is over. And, you know, England,
they need to stop him.
They got to stop this guy now. See, they're not able to stop this guy. A second and two or third and two, they can't stop these guys.
And none of that, Dusty. None of that. You're talking third and two. You're talking about running the football. You're talking about getting the first down. You're talking about killing the clock. It's no even. But, Dusty, real quick, I want to get to you because I know baseball has been very, very good to you. And. Just quickly elaborate on it, real quickly. You know, Albert Pujols is talk about the Marlins, and I know you've been on the
Reyes.
Well, no, forget Reyes, but you've been on the conga drums. Are they beating back to you on this thing with Pujols? You know, what are the drums telling you?
Well, you know, if he gets what he wants, he'll go to the Marlins. And let me tell you something. They are trying to, since they're in Miami, Florida Marlins, I think they're trying to, more than anything else, recognize the Marlins. Because even Reyes, they're looking over Reyes. Perhaps the money is, if the money's right. Now, Pujols, remember I told you guys that Pujols turned down $200 million for 10 years with St. Louis.
Wow.
The thing is that he wants A-Rod money. Nobody's going to get A-Rod money. But if they make it feasible for him, instead of 10 years, they'll tell you, okay, you want how about if we give you the $200 million for 7 years? Man, 7 years, he's 38, 39. He's ready to go back home. So make it a big purse every year for 7 years. Jose Reyes, I think Jose Reyes is entitled to
to his 120, 140. He's a damn good shortstop. If the Florida Marlins get these guys who already beat the Yankees and beat somebody else, Cleveland, a World Series, hey, you never know what's going to happen this season. But,
okay,
but
no,
they.
But
in case of Pujols, it got to be the money. See,
so,
because you're
so
already
we can, other words, you're telling us this is what you got from the drums. This is what the drums have told you.
I didn't hear you,
Doc,
because you came and broke it up. Go ahead.
I said this is what the drums have told you. On the
oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I go, do. Pujols won $200 million for 7 years.
Rooney, real quickly, though, the thought has to be, though, you know, Reyes is suspect. His injuries make him sort of a gamble.
Mm-hmm. It makes him a huge gamble. This is my thing with Reyes, okay, Doc? When Reyes is on and Reyes is healthy, for my money, most exciting player in baseball. When Reyes is on and Reyes is healthy, most exciting player in baseball, okay? My thing
Absolutely.
Is, though, the guy has trouble staying on the field. He has trouble staying on the field, Doc. There's going to be a big trouble trying to get I don't know, say 150 games out of Reyes, 145, 150 games. It's hard to imagine getting it out of him. You know, the guy has all the talent in the world, but his body breaks down during the course of that long, ever-ending baseball season.
Okay, let's take a quick look at the third quarter stats here, gang. New England had 12 first downs.
They won the ball.
Their third down efficiency was 25%. This is amazing. This is amazing stat here now. New England in the third quarter, their third down efficiency was 25%. The Jets were 75%. The Jets got 78 yards. New England wound up 87 yards. And right now, for all intents and purposes, I'm starting to hear that Don Meredith song again as New England sends it down the field. Turn out the lights. Not only is the party over, but there's no more beer going to be served either.
Because they're not within field goal range, and that's the sadness.
His defense couldn't
get off the field, Dust, and Doc defense couldn't get off the field.
Well, you know, in the words of Howard Westerner, which I know will bring joy to Lady A, sad and touching in a game this big, in a game this monumental, in a foe that was reeling and rocking, in a foe that was ready to be had. I mean, they gave them the football. And this is just, you know, there's 9 minutes left. You know, weirder things have happened, but it just don't look like it's going to happen tonight. And, you know, seeing this is just, this was just a big, big football game. This was a season-turning football game, but it seems like if New England wins this game, that's who's going to turn for in a positive manner.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Just the way that they moved the ball from left side to the right in this current drive, I mean, they were going over 10 yards at a clip. It's like they just had no answer to stop them. We could think about that game a couple of years ago when the Jets came back, beat the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they were down 17 points in the first half. We came back and won. I mean, anything has happened. Can happen. The game is not over until it's all 4-0 in the fourth quarter. So we do have the time, even if they get a field goal here, which still is in reach of a win. But that's up to the Jets to play. The defense is doing their job. But, you know, offense, we have to score the same way we just scored the last previous drive.
Exactly.
And to throw a question out there to the panel, starting with Phil in Cincinnati, today, if this was the end of the season, who would get Rookie of the Year? Would it be Andy Dalton in Cincinnati or Cam Newton in Carolina? What do you have to say about that, Phil?
I would think it'd be Cam Newton.
Why do you say?
He's on his, I mean, for, like you said, starting out, he's just a little better than Dalton right now. But
yes,
I believe he'd be the man to get it. But I tell you what, you give Andy Dalton another year, he will, he'll be shining. He's shining now. He'll be really good next year. We keep the line that we have, and the team stays together and don't cause any problems.
I believe we'll pull it out. We'll make a playoff. We'll make the playoff.
I have to agree with you with that because he has one advantage that Cam Newton doesn't. He has an experienced coach. And as you look in Carolina, there were a lot of changes in the offseason, and I believe that he has the advantage, Andy Dalton. Going to Dusty, what do you think? Who would you think will get the Rookie of the Year?
Well, I concur. I believe Cam Newton simply because I forgot the exact numbers, but he has 300 yards in rushing for touchdowns himself. He has an arm like Ron Jaworski, the Polish rifle, and he gets his receivers. He always makes a play. When a play is busted, he makes the plays himself and gets the yardage. He's like a one man team in a sense. I've been following him since his college days, and the guy's a monster. He has not slowed down from college to the pros. Usually when you turn pro, you know, you're up with those veterans and this, that, and the other, and you're sort of intimidated. But he's like,
turn off the lights, party's over.
It came up.
I'm sorry. Turn
out the lights, party's over.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dusty.
Okay, Donnie Don, whatever it is, but. Actually, yes. If I had a vote, I would, because he has seen the transition. It hasn't been a rookie or an amateur to a pro transition. It seems like he just stepped into something that he's been doing for a long time. And that shows a lot of talent, a lot of maturity. First of all, he has an advantage. He's 6'3", 6'4", 250. He's a strong dude. He could be a tight end. He could be a running back. He could be a tailback. He could be everything. He could work like they do in high school and college. He could work both offense and defense. That's how good I've seen him. You know, so basically that would be my vote. Dalton, well, you know, he just a little shadow behind Cam Newton, maybe a couple of steps behind him, and he has to play catch up. But Cam Newton is there. He's been sacked. He's been pushed around. He's just gotten back and said, "Okay, you hit me, so boom, I'm going to get up." And you know, and then he's beaten some good teams. Today he got murdered. I mean, was it something 24-3 or something like that? But he showed a pretty good game. And the performance, even though losing, it shows that the man has a lot of talent. He has a new ball players and all that. But would he be Super Bowl bound the next couple of years? It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if the administration gets some, add a few more, you know, better players, this and the other. But with what he has, he's done tremendously well. And that's what I would
think. Excellent.
You know, yeah. And I wouldn't have any problems.
Excellent, Bessie. If we could squeeze Rooney in there real quick, we're coming up on
closing
minutes of the show. What do you think?
Well, see, Wings, I'm going to draw that straight line right across the panel and go along with you, Phil, and Dusty. Got to go with Cam, but I'm going to go with Cam for this reason. Not only can he just see loads of raw talent in regard to the shotgun of an arm that he has and him being able to, you know, run the ball on his own right. Like you said, he's a big guy, a strong guy, 6'3", 250, but he has something that's kind of an intangible, which kind of reminds me of another big guy, quarterback Roethlisberger, and the fact that he has the uncanny ability to be able to extend plays.
Right.
You know, the guy makes people around him better, and he has the uncanny ability of, like you said, he can either rifle the ball in, run the ball in, or some combination. Like Dusty said, the guy can play, you know, just many, many, many different positions if he wanted to.
Right.
But as a quarterback, he has so much raw talent that, like Dusty said, I would not be shocked to see him in a Super Bowl in the next few years. Guy has
also
raw talent. He's a work in progress.
At the point you bring up, too, his ability to get into the end zone
not only by throwing the football, but running the football. And, you know, a quarterback that can run, I mean, you see that in Michael Vick, a team like Philadelphia 3 weeks ago alive. Now they seem to be dead, but a guy that can do that, I mean, he just changes the defense. He keeps them on their toes. He can throw the ball in. He can run the ball in. He's such a great weapon. And he's a big guy. We got a gang, you know, I didn't time to just run in here away with us.
So I would love to see him
in our last seconds here. Well, right now, the Jets would love to see him here. We're about ready to close out here on Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In Depth show. And it's about that time. And Larry Harris is going to come in. But thank Phil for joining us from Cincinnati. The Jet fans, it just didn't pan out. But Dr. Dillon, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In Depth show. Right now, with 8:04 left, it's 30:16, and as far as the Jets are concerned, with 8:04 left, there's all the points in the world. Live your life today. Live the same before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent. What's heard? The question is, what are you doing for others? And the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. On behalf of Lady A, C Wings, Little Kelco, and Dusty, and our big new friend from Cincinnati, Phil, God bless you. Good night, and trust in God.
Thank you.
God bless. Take care.
Good night. This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Thank you.